guilty, there is an alternative.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the 420 edition, rolling into the happy hour. My little buddy Dominic's joining in the show with Brian, but I'm here in the humidor at Knuckleheads, 520 State Street. Those watching the video stream can see the wares around me, man. Lots of fine cigars all around me. The largest humidor in Madison,
damn,
my understanding. Certainly the nicest with me sitting here.
Well,
the sexiest.
Even so. Happy 420, Crudy, Fancy Brian, Evan, all fair audience. Welcome. It's great to be with you. I'm super excited. Crudy, I got one of those Facebook memories that popped up 5 years ago today. There's a picture of you and I smoking, at least me smoking, a bowl on top of Bill Press's office building. That one popped up today.
Well, that was the week. Did we go out there for the? It wasn't the impeachment. I guess it was the inauguration.
The inauguration, we out there, right? For the, and I think I posted it for the celebration of 420, and it was a great time, great memories. Happy 420, everybody!
And let's point out, DCA legal marijuana territory.
Oh.
You just couldn't buy it legally there.
You got yours for free. You can give it away. You couldn't buy it at the time. What a joke. And I woke up this morning, Crudy, early, because, you know, I got to work out in the morning. Got to make sure my testosterone continues to flow. Very concerned.
Yeah, that and the tanning, the early morning tanning. I know you, daily ritual.
So I jumped on and started, you know, perusing through my feeds, and I saw a tweet from Bernie Sanders, our favorite senator, from 11 o'clock the night before, saying, legalize marijuana, expunge past marijuana convictions, end the failed war on drugs. I'm thinking, Bernie, abso-frickin-lutely, man. Good morning to you. Happy 420.
That, and then come down to Knuckleheads. They're giving away free stuff, Dom. I can tell people are very excited. It's got like a carnival atmosphere in the showroom right now. I hear them calling out the numbers. Not a raffle. You don't have to buy anything. A giveaway. They're giving away a volcano down here this weekend, Dom.
A volcano?
And some, you know what I'm saying, one of those volcano, massive vape volcanoes, I believe they are.
Oh,
and
nice.
They've got other glassware. You can sign up. You can choose what you want to, you know, try to win. But lots of people doing commerce out there right here, 520 State Street, Knuckleheads, doing a little live hit, you know, in deference to the holiday. I know somebody in our audience, they celebrate the holiday. And Dom, who was waiting here the minute I walked in? Well, Doc Weed, of course. And it was 420.
Hey, nice. Well, tell Doc I said, hey, man, that's awesome.
He's doing a doubleheader. Doc Weed moved from here on to Hawk's Finer Neighborhood Bar right on State Street.
Wow. Getting all the hot spots.
Well, and you know, frequenting all the fine sponsors of Devil Radio and the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We appreciate all the fine sponsors. Appreciate all you for listening, and you can be a part. 844-967-2789. I get distracted. I'm like, I don't even have a ticket, but I'm like, did I win?
You know, I you know, messaging is an issue sometimes, Crudy. And then today's, you know, 420 celebration made me think about, of course, the war on drugs. But then I saw this the state senator from Michigan, Mallory McMorrow, and I'm in love. Sorry, Steph,
she's
I'm in love.
Very impressive.
Wow. And I saw her in talking about the culture wars. And I'm thinking, well, why do we have a war on drugs, but we have culture wars? I think we should reframe it as the Republicans having a war on culture. Because isn't that really what this is? This is a culture war. This is a war on culture. So I'm just going to start referring to it as that, and you can hashtag that.
Do you note that James Carville was quoted extensively at the Washington Post in regard to the young Michigan State senator who so impassionately just, you know, bitch-slapped the entire Republican Party? I mean, how dare anyone, you know, direct a besmirching at a mom? She's a pedophile. She's a groomer. I mean, how could you not react passionately to that? And I think the response was not over the top. It was just right. It was just to punch him right between the eyes, rhetorically speaking, of course, that was needed in this circumstance. And Carville, he was very, very excited because that sounds like a winner, Dom. That's what a winner sounds like. That's the sort of clear, right in your face messaging. We try to do it every day here on the Devil's Advocates, but that, you know, the entire Democratic Party could take a little lesson and courage from that young senator and from messaging from the Devil's Advocates radio show, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, I know we have some sound, and if you don't mind, I'd like to hear some of it. I heard it this morning, and I was just blown away. And as a side note here, she has, from her Twitter feed from this yesterday, more likes. She has 206,000 likes, more than Bernie Sanders and the drug war. She's going viral on this. Brian, you got a couple of these. Let's just lay them back to back if you can, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I didn't expect to wake up yesterday to the news that the senator from the 22nd district had overnight accused me by name of grooming and sexualizing children in an email fundraising for herself. So I sat on it for a while wondering why me. And then I realized, because I am the biggest threat to your hollow, hateful scheme. Because you can't claim that you are targeting marginalized kids in the name of, quote, parental rights if another parent is standing up to say no. So then what? Then you dehumanize and marginalize me. You say that I'm one of them. You say she's a groomer. She supports pedophilia. She wants children to believe that they were responsible for slavery and to feel bad about themselves because they're white.
To feel bad about themselves because they're white. And I thought this was great. Again, state senator from the great state of Michigan, my home state, my birth state, Mallory McMorrow, responding to another senator from the state, Lana Thies, accusing her of being a groomer and sexualizing children. This whole parental rights facade, this justification that they try to use to, you know, basically use all this anti-LGBTQ messaging is what she struck down in that particular quote. I think she's great. Let's hear a little bit more, if you would, please, Brian.
Growing up, my family was very active in our church. I sang in the choir. My mom taught CCD. One day, our priest called a meeting with my mom and told her that she was not living up to the church's expectations and that she was disappointing. My mom asked why. Among other reasons, she was told it was because she was divorced and because the priest didn't see her at Mass every Sunday. So where was my mom on Sundays? She was at the soup kitchen with me. My mom taught me at a very young age that Christianity and faith was about being part of a community, about recognizing our privilege and blessings and doing what we can to be of service to others, especially people who are marginalized, targeted, and who had less, often unfairly. I learned that service was far more important than performative nonsense like being seen in the same pew every Sunday or writing Christian in your Twitter bio and using that as a shield to target and marginalize already marginalized people. I also stand on the shoulders of people like Father Ted Hesburgh.
And as a side note, Scott Walker, the very first thing in his Twitter handler, Christian. That's exactly who she's talking about. And as the atheist on the panel, I supremely appreciate Mallory McMorrow's position on this. She seems like a Christian that actually goes out and believes and says and performs the acts, the service that is required of the religion, and for the priest to come in and say, and I've heard this before from other folks, so, you know, don't come around. Maybe they'd be a little more open to, you know, your lifestyle or not living up to the church's standards if you scratch a big enough check, because really that's what it's all about. You know, God needs money. But for her to stand up on her Christian values and push back against other so-called Christians like Scott Walker, who would put that as the first tag in their Twitter bio. We got time for any more of these? Let's do some more. State Senator Mallory McMorrow.
The longtime president of the University of Notre Dame, who was active in the civil rights movement, who recognized his power and privilege as a white man, a faith leader, and the head of an influential and well-respected institution, and who saw black people in this country being targeted and discriminated against and beaten, and reached out to lock arms with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when he was alive, when it was unpopular and risky, and marching alongside them to say, "We've got you." To offer protection and service and allyship to try to right the wrongs and fix injustice in the world. So who am I? I am a straight, white, Christian, married, suburban mom who knows that the very notion that learning about slavery or redlining or systemic racism somehow means that children are being taught to feel bad or hate themselves because they are white is absolute nonsense. No child alive today is responsible for slavery. No one in this room is responsible for slavery.
Wow. Mallory McMorrow was a Michigan state senator, straight white Christian suburban mom, lighten up the Republicans. I'm a straight white atheist suburban-ish dad. And I agree with her wholeheartedly. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Thank you, Brian, for letting us play some more of that. We are the Devil's Advocates radio show. It is the 420. Crudy, you still with me, man? Are you in the closet?
Man,
all right.
I'm not in a closet. I'm in a humidor. I'm at Knuckleheads, 520 State Street. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Of course not.
Knuckleheads, they're giving away good stuff. They got all kinds of deals going on. It's 420. Observe down here, Dom. And I'm observing a lot of commerce going on. Looks like everyone's having a good time, you know, on the 420. Come back. Come see me. Stop back to the humidor. You know, good smoking products all around me. More Devil's Advocates. Your phone calls could be next. 844-967-2789.
He loves you, and he needs money.
This is Chris Voss from the record company. You're listening to Devil Radio. This song's called How High. We are the record company. We play rock and roll.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy 420 to us all. You can join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, do I sound sexy on the radio? I'm broadcasting from a humidor right here, State Street, Madison, Wisconsin, Knuckleheads. Come down and see me. I'll be here until 6. They're giving away some good stuff, and they got all kinds of deals going on in honor of the 420 holiday observed. But Dom, I told you, I got to lead back a story to you.
All right.
Donald Trump did an interview very, very recently, and it's going to air next week. And he sat down with Piers Morgan. And Morgan was something of a Trump supporter, my understanding. But it didn't go well. And here is how the excerpts of the interview went. "I think I am a very honest man, much more honest than you," actually, Trump said at one point. "Really?" Morgan asked. "Yeah," Trump responded. Elsewhere, Morgan told Trump the 2020 vote was a free and fair election. "You lost." "Only a fool would think that," Trump shot back. "You think I'm a fool?" Morgan retorted. "I do now, yeah," Trump responded.
You're all fools if you don't believe the big lie.
That's gonna sting a little to be called a liar to your face when you're surrounded by nothing but sycophants every day of your life. You know how it goes, Dom. Let me read on. Trump has alleged almost since election night of 2020 that moves to expand mail-in voting due to COVID-19's pandemic concealed election fraud by Democrats and their surrogates and, what, millions of illegals, right? If you hear Trump's conspiracy sidewinders in key swing states like Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and I'm going to throw in Wisconsin for good measure. But here's more from the apparent interview that Trump stormed out of, had a hissy fit, took his ball and went home, Dom. Morgan said, with respect, you haven't produced the hard evidence. Morgan said of Trump's claims, the former president, well, he attempted to interject. I don't think you're real, the former president said to Morgan, later turning to the production crew and calling his interviewer very dishonest. The preview clip ended with Trump getting out of his seat and ordering production to turn the camera off. Very dishonest, he added, while walking away. Describing the experience in a Thursday column for the Post, the New York Post, that is, that's my original sourcing here, Dom. Morgan revealed he also told the former president that he blamed Trump's refusal to admit defeat for the deadly January 6, 2021 Capitol riot. Then you're a fool and you haven't studied. Trump responded, according to Morgan. So that might be an interview worth.
Yeah, you haven't studied. You know, you haven't been on QAnon.
Set the DVR for.
I mean, it's not like you can, you know, go and, you know, Google search any sort of, you know, cases that Donald Trump and his campaign won, or any of the cases that the Kraken won, or anything. You can't find anything because they didn't win a damn thing. They're losers. And Donald Trump, it's hard for me to, you know, understand Donald Trump. Does he, I mean, at some point, I think he's the kind of guy that could convince himself that he, in fact, did win that election. I mean, that's how narcissistic and psychopathic he is, that he could just will it into existence. And if he, no one believes him, well, he believes it, so it must be true.
I believe that I am very sexy sitting here in the humidor and the pack of knuckleheads. I willed that into existence. A little bit more from the Post reporting. It's always good when it's in the Post. That's a Rupert Murdoch paper, don't you know, Dom? Morgan recounted that Trump called him a fool 6 times during the interview. Described Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell as stupid, and his own Vice President Mike Pence as foolish and weak.
You know, he hires added that usually the best people.
Usually. And then, you know, they figure out, nah, they're not so good.
I mean, if everybody around you is incompetent and you're the perfect one, I mean, how long can you actually, I guess as long as you got money in your pocket and he can, you know, finance his BS, but it can't be the smartest guy in the most brilliant and down-to-earth and open and honest guy, and everybody, literally everybody else is inconsequential compared to how great you are. I mean, this is how Trump thinks. This is the narcissistic bastard that he is.
They hire usually good people.
Yeah, usually, I guess.
Wait, there's just a skosh more here, Dom. I think you'll enjoy this.
Put a bow on it.
The host, Morgan, added that Trump initially tried to end the interview by declaring, "That's it," but remained in his seat to discuss a recent hole-in-one he scored by playing golf. So I'm outraged. I'm out of here. As soon as I tell you about the hole-in-one I got recently on the golf course, did you hear about my hole-in-one?
Oh, my God.
After that discussion, the former president stood up with a hateful look and ordered the crew members to turn the cameras off. Yeah, after I tell you about this hole-in-one, turn off those cameras. Think he hits off the ladies' tees? I think he does. 844-967-2789.
The Raw story. Normally, he'd greet me with a cheery smile and the words, "How's my champ?" because I was his first celebrity apprentice on this series that made him a TV superstar. But this time, there was no such welcoming niceties, Morgan explained. I'd never seen him so livid or felt so uncomfortable in his presence as I did right now in his office. He's almost foaming at the mouth and kept shaking his head slowly and menacingly at me like Don Corleone when he felt he'd been disrespected.
You know, Dom, I thought I was foaming at the mouth, but I realized it's 420 and that's just cottonmouth. Come on down, see me at Knuckleheads. I'm down here broadcasting until 6 o'clock. They got specials going on all weekend. But most importantly, they got huge savings going on 420. And they got all kinds of giveaways. A gold volcano dome. It would match your grill. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. The happier, happy hour. It's rolling on. You know, your teeth, your grill.
Yeah, you're like Little John. I got it, man. I got it.
Well, I thought I might have to explain it to you be sure.
Just wasn't that great. You've had better work.
I've got some controversy to stir with you when we come back, young man.
You fool!
But I pity the fool.
Why do I surround myself with fools? Even the robots are smarter than you.
There's no better word than stupid.
You fool!
Are you talking to me?
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day, the 420 edition. And we're rolling through the happier happy hour. I'm happy because I'm down here with the good people at Knuckleheads, and they're doing a lot of commerce, man. Apparently a lot of people been saving their pennies, man. All the college kids down here, 5 o'clock, it was like gangbusters. It was like an MC Hammer concert in 1984. I don't know how to describe it, but it was pandemonium out there for a minute or two.
Poor man.
Well, when was MC Hammer big?
Oh, 91? Must have been, like early 90s, I would think. 89, 90, 91, something like that. I mean, 1984, Van Halen, 1984, sure. But yeah, it's busy. It's crazy over at Knuckleheads. We love it. We got one. They still got a store here in Milwaukee, up off of Farwell, I believe.
Absolutely, they do.
Yeah.
We like our friends at Knuckleheads. Please support our fine sponsors, and you can do the double dip like Doc Weed did. Stop down to Knuckleheads, and then go up to Hawks, find our neighborhood bar.
Well, you got to get a drink to get rid of that cotton mouth. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Crudy, I got a follow-up to a conversation you and I had yesterday. Apparently, the president, Joe Biden, told former President Barack Obama that he's in for another round. And we talked a little bit about it. Reporting from Sean Sullivan this afternoon at the Washington Post, Senator Bernie Sanders is open to running for president in 2024 if President Biden declines to seek re-election, according to a campaign memo a top political advisor distributed to allies on Wednesday that was shared with the Washington Post. Quote, in the event of an open 2024 Democratic presidential primary, Senator Sanders has not ruled out another run for president, so we advise that you answer any questions about 2024 with that in mind, says the memo from Faz Shakir, a close Sanders advisor who was his campaign manager when he ran in 2020.
Yeah, man, we introduced Faz in Milwaukee when we emceed the ACLU banquet that one time. And obviously, we saw him many times in the spin room, at least during the early primary stage back when it was still a contested primary. I think we last saw him in Vegas, you know, February of 2020-ish. But anyways,
so
run, Bernie, run, baby. Run, Bernie, run.
But this comes back
if
to
Joe's,
you.
If right. Joe, the incumbent, doesn't run.
And again, the age thing, which concerns me to a degree, as I
doesn't bother me
day.
What I owed it. It's Bernie, baby.
Well,
Bernie's going to live forever.
Bernie's older than Biden at 80 years old.
I think he's older. He's tougher. He's grizzled. I mean, he's like beef jerky, man. He's he's got a shelf life of forever, baby.
So Sanders, apparently, there's a possibility. Now we'll see what happens with Joe Biden, but Sanders, if it's an open primary, if it's an open open race, Bernie is in.
Bernie or bust, baby. I don't know. You know, I'll have to see who else would climb into an open field. But, you know, I support the incumbents, Tom. And I've told you, I mean, I was a Bernie guy. But I would support the reelective efforts of Joe Biden. If he is a guy running, I think he should run unopposed in the Democratic primary, at least amongst, you know, the non-Tulsi Gabbard types. There might be someone out there trying to make a name, but they're not part of the larger for the common good sort of Democratic Party sorts. That would be my impression.
I'm with you. I mean, who was it? Joe Manchin? I mean, what if Joe Manchin? You know, I could see Joe Manchin. Apparently, there was some discussion of him running, switching parties. You know, you got to wonder about Joe.
He was telling donors that. So that's when you know he's telling the truth, right?
When they
he's around the millionaires and the billionaires. You know, the haves and the have-mores, I think George W. Bush would call them.
Oh, or he's just fleecing them and milking them for more campaign dollars because, you know, if I do run, I'm going to need more money than what you're giving me now. So, you know, it's posturing and positioning as far as I'm concerned. But I'm not being ageist, but, you know, age is a factor and health is a factor. Bernie had a heart scare recently and, you know, Joe's slowing down.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
I had forgotten about Bernie's quote-unquote heart scare, although I've seen him post-heart scare. And I had seen him Cedar Rapids, Iowa, at an event in the last campaign during the 2020 cycle. And Bernie was out there, and I think I talked about the day. Me and Bernie are kind of staring at each other, and he was red in the face. It was hot, and I was hot, and I'm holding the camera, and Bernie's staring at me, and I got the... You know, the ginormous melon head with the red hat on it. How do you not see me, right? And I'm super sexy, so Bernie had to notice me. But I remember that was pre-heart incident. I remember thinking, man, Bernie is bright red. Well, hopefully those things are in his
past. Of course.
But, yeah, man, if Joe ain't in, sure, Bernie or bust. But
you would, I want to be clear, you would not want Bernie to run against Joe Joe's... You would not want that.
No, that's correct. That's correct. I don't want Bernie to primary Joe Biden. I don't see how that would benefit the nation. I would see that as potentially disastrous for the commons, for the good, because I think it would undermine Joe Biden's candidacy, and it would leave him a damaged candidate. It's one thing when you're running for an open nomination. It's another thing when you got an incumbent president from your own party. I mean, I remember Bernie threatening back in 2012 Barack Obama, but he didn't, and I don't think he should. Not if Joe's in.
But, you know, the progressive wing, of which I would consider you to be a pretty progressive guy, you know, Joe Biden has not followed through on perhaps some of the things that, you know, the Bernie supporters would like to see done. I mean, if he doesn't
should
he get another 8 years to, you know, do the job that he didn't do in four as it perceived from the left wing of the party?
I'm not sure where the additional 8 years comes from. That sounds like Trumpster talk. But what I would say
if Biden runs now, he's in now, he's president now, that's 4 years. If he runs again, there'll be another 4 years. That's 8 years. That's what I'm saying. That's the math.
Okay, I understand the math. You probably weren't listening prior, but I had my congressman, Mark Pocan, back in the 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mark's always a great guest and often candid. And Mark was the co-chair of the Democratic, the Progressive Caucus in the House.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, no one has to question his bona fides as an actual progressive. And I think Mark shares my opinion. Joe Biden's done a pretty good job. All things considered, I don't think the messaging's been as strong as it could have been, but the deliverables, the American Rescue Plan, the smaller infrastructure plan, he's out there trying to sell a bigger infrastructure plan to this moment he's out there selling. And I think there are some bigger things he could still do, things like forgiving student loan debt. I think that would be a big win for this president. Now, there are things I disagree with Joe on. You know, on a day like 420, it should be pointed out the Biden administration was still firing staffers over marijuana policy.
Ridiculous.
Like people had used marijuana.
Ridiculous.
Sure.
What?
But if the alternative to Joe Biden's marijuana policy is, yeah, and then Trump's back. No, that's, I am not a single issue voter. You know, once upon a time, I would have been, Dom. We asked every politician knew.
I'm with you, bro. I hear you.
And here in the state of Wisconsin, it was Melissa Agard, finally, Senator now Agard, that finally was the first politician that said, yes, I am for legalizing, taxing, and recreational marijuana, not just for some medicinal thing or whatever. And then they had a show hearing in the state of Wisconsin. You know, why
today,
you show up.
They had one today.
Yeah, because the Republicans, optics, it's 420, right?
Today. I mean, it. Well, for the Republicans in the state of Wisconsin, to you have a sham hearing, because let's just be honest. I mean, what, they're already checked out, man. There's nothing going to happen. So what, they're going to take it up maybe next
literally
year?
Their session is already everything but gaveled out because they're already running for reelection. You know, the important business of the politicians. Yeah, nothing's going to happen on the legalized marijuana front. It was just a – I appreciate the effort, man, because Melissa Agard specifically has been out there pushing this legislation every year. And if someone's not the tip of the spear, nothing gets done in this world. And I've often said, you know, you can't change the world, but if you're laser-focused on one or two issues, maybe you can change the world by that incremental amount. Well, Bernie Sanders would be a big game changer should he run and win the presidency. You know, of course I'd support Bernie. But I'm also currently supportive of the current president, just like my congressman, Mark Pocan. I don't want to see him get primaried. And as a side note, Dominic, I'm not very happy to see Doug LaFollette in the state of Wisconsin getting primaried. The venerable Doug LaFollette, he's in his early 80s. Doug has been the Secretary of the State since I was in diapers. And as far as I'm concerned, that is his office until the day he dies.
Well,
so you take
on,
it
man.
From his cold, dead hands.
It's the people's office, and he needs to run and win an election like everybody else. And again,
he have to face the opposition in the primary ginned up apparently by a political consultant who I suspect will get paid for leading that campaign, the very same political consultant, and they're doing commerce down here at Knucklehead, so no, if people are coming in the humidor to buy some stuff, just bear with them. Bear with me.
All right, give me some.
Same political consultant that led on the maps? How'd that work out for us? Are we satisfied with the redistricting? Well, let's not forget who was leading that effort. Same guy leading the effort to primary? My guy, Doug LaFollette. I'm not happy about it.
I mean, LaFollette's been there a long time, right? I mean,
he has. That's why everyone in the state knows his name. Why he won elections in 2010 in the same year that Ron Johnson and Scott Walker got swept in. Doug LaFollette won re-election that year. Same year Scott Walker won re-election in 14. Doug LaFollette did too. You're going to mess with that? It's a ceremonial position. It's Doug's for life, as far as I'm concerned, because there's no real there to the job. Until Republicans win that seat and they make it a tool to wreck with the elective cycle. Well, the only way that's going to happen is if somebody goes in primaries, Doug LaFollette.
I mean, Doug LaFollette will presumably have a Republican opponent next time he runs, right?
Oh, he always does. Okay, he always beats the Republican.
Handily. And if somebody who's a Democrat doesn't think that maybe LaFollette is not up to the next elective cycle, why would you have an issue with them seeking the office? And of course, as a political consultant, I mean, I'm not clear specific how it all works. But if I'm running for office and I hire a political consultant, the political consultants are going to cash my checks and work for me to get me elected, if that's what I want to do. I'm pretty sure the political consultants are not coming to me, recruiting me, and paying me to run for the office. So if there's a primary, if there's some interest.
I'm less convinced.
Why is that?
Look at the example of the Iron Stash. Did the Iron Stash decide he was going to run for Congress one day? Or was he recruited in that role? I mean, intelligent guy. He had that cool mustache.
Got a great mustache.
I liked him.
I still
like him. But somebody literally recruited his ass to go run in the first CD. And I would not put it beyond the political consultancy class in the state of Wisconsin. Somebody in their hubris and ego decided, well, you know, I know better. And I'm tired of Doug LaFollette. And, you know, it's more important that we put forth a vibrant young candidate and hold that seat. Or
so
perhaps
blue blue,
damage
blue
the guy
blue,
that's assured
violet.
Re-election. Blue, yeah,
no, but nothing,
blue on
no,
blue violence, baby. I don't like it.
Nothing is assured. But you ran against Tony Evers, man. So if it's an open primary, it's
I
okay,
ran in
but
a 12-person primary with
so
no
what?
Incumbent.
Okay,
you don't
so
hear
that,
me declaring my candidacy.
That's your only distinction. is if there's an open primary.
You don't run against the incumbent. You don't hear me declaring that I'm going to go run against Tony Evers. You know, he's advancing in age. He's going to be 72, 74 by the time the next term comes around. You know what? So what? I support Tony Evers. Why? We don't always see eye to eye, but he's my guy. He's my incumbent. He's my party's representation. And you know what? Even I have the common sense to not go ding the incumbent governor or the incumbent secretary of state of the great state of Wisconsin.
You're going to get dinged by the Republicans anywhere. You should be tested and ready to roll.
Well, I think someone's just cashing checks, and they don't care who wins or loses because the checks still cash. Come back, more Devils.
Say, man, you got a joint?
Mike, that's a very good question.
I got a joint here, man. I've been saving for a special occasion.
Congratulations for staying awake all day.
Kind of grabs you by the boo-boo, don't it?
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. The last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the 420 at 844-967-2789. And Fancy Brian brought up a great point. Go ahead, if you would, please, Brian.
I just want to remind everybody that it's okay that 420 is happening during the week. Because guess what? As high as you get tonight, you can get as high as you possibly want to. You're still not going to have to worry about being hungover or trying to power through a hangover tomorrow. In fact, you'll be just fine.
And if that's your attitude, you're going to need some supplies from our friends at Knuckleheads. They have all kinds of 420 giveaways going on, and they're using like dots, like depending on the color of the dot, how big the savings is. So I'm going to be here for at least one more segment, broadcasting from the Humidor, 520 State Street. Our fine sponsors, Knuckleheads, and they are doing fine commerce here. But it slowed down a little bit. The 5 o'clock rush, though, it was pandemonium in here, man. So, obviously, lots of Devil's Advocates listeners. One other show note. Please make note of the fact the eagerly anticipated guest, Al Franken, has been rebooked for 1 week from today. The only former U.S. senator currently on tour, Al Franken, joining this big show, 3:30 Central Time a week from today, next Wednesday. And then Al Franken coming to the Barrymore Theater on April 29th. My understanding, there are still some tickets available, but the best tickets, they got snapped up early. No VIP seats, but they're still selling tickets at the Barrymore Theater. So look them up, you know, go buy the tickets, and we'll bring you the fine former senator and, you know, comedian. And, you know, I just hope I'm good enough, Tom.
Well, all you can
I just
do is
hope
try.
Al likes me.
you're fine. What he used to say, what was he looks in the mirror, tells himself that,
I'm good enough, I'm such and such.
Yeah.
People like me.
Yes. 844.
We hope you good like
enough,
us.
I'm Brian. Smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Yes. Keep telling yourself that, Crudy. It will happen sooner or later. Just like Trump saying the election was stolen, and he's still really the president.
You know, I didn't get your specific commitment, but I got one from Hawk, and that's all that matters. May 17th, we're doing a party on the deck at the Jade Monkey. You know, so many of our audience members, they like to come down and party as good Wisconsinites like to. Well, we're doing another bar show, and Don may or may show not show up. We'll have to hold him to a later RSVP. But we'll be there, and Fancy Brian will probably join the party, and you should be there as well. The Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge on May 17th. That's going to be the first humdinger of the summer. And don't even know what we're calling this summer yet. The Summer of Love 2.0 Electric Boogaloo or something of the sort. But we'll get some T-shirts made and we'll party our asses off all summer long. Also, into June, man, going to do the DPW and lacrosse. I know you're a no-show for that one, Dom. Got prior engagements, but
yes, unfortunately,
we're taking the show on the road. Today will not be the last. Crudy from the Humidor, some casino or somewhere all across the great state of Wisconsin. I'm going to have a good summer.
We're all going to have a good summer, and we love it when you join us at 844-967-2789. Pizza Box, Mike, you are next. Welcome, man. What do you got for us today?
Woo! feeling the burn on 420. That's the best news I've heard since, anyway, yeah. You know, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. And I'm not saying that at this point we need to worry about Bernie getting into a primary with Biden. But when you're fighting for the people at the bottom, you kind of get why Bernie Sanders is still going. But I think you guys would be more interested in tonight's primary.
And what's that?
Which primary is that?
Well, it's there's four. It's between Mo Doe, Sunday Driver, Gary Payton, and Jungle Cake. And we're doing it tonight. We're going to find out which one is the most popular with the crowd I'm in tonight, because it's 420, baby. Woo!
Woo! Pizza Box, Mike, coming off that Colorado trip. Very excited. Thanks for the call, man. Enjoy your 420. Hey, Crudy, I saw that some number crunchers over at Ohio State University, you know, your favorite college, crunched some numbers.
The Ohio State University.
OSU. Apparently crunched some numbers. If the state of Ohio legalized marijuana, within 5 years, they would receive in tax revenue per year between $276 million and $375 million per year. And that's just the tax revenue, let alone the value of disparate outcomes and justice and law enforcement and people, you know, in jail for marijuana crimes, because that still happens. I guarantee you there are people in jail in Ohio today because of weed. So, and we talked about this many times, Wisconsin, you know, dragging behind our neighbors, Colorado, obviously the first, having hundreds
of
millions of dollars.
Mississippi legalized, dude. We're dragging behind everybody.
Oh, man, it's terrible. Well, Mississippi legalized medicinal. And medicinal, according to the university, Marquette University Law School polling, like 80% of Wisconsin citizens are down with medicinal marijuana legalization. And 51% of Republicans are down for recreational, and of course a much higher percentage of independents and Democrats down for that. So there is a plurality of citizens in this state that are done with the war on drugs, the drug war, however you want to frame it. It's a joke. It doesn't work. It never has. Prohibition does not work. And for all of the individualist Republicans out there, how can you possibly be down? We're throwing people in jail for doing whatever they decide they want to do, so long as they're not harming anybody else. It's just such a conflict. And you see, Senator Ron Johnson out slamming beers and alcohol. That's totally fine. Let's celebrate Beer Day.
Liquor good, marijuana bad.
I mean,
see you at the bar.
A break, right. Exactly. I mean, the hypocrisy. Oh, we need to check the science. And No. You need to explain to me why you want to use the power of the government to persecute me for smoking weed in my own house. What gives you that right? What makes you the arbiter of what is right for Dominic's life? You don't have it.
Remember,
it's a joke.
Remember when they used to tell us to watch Colorado? See what happens in Colorado.
Yeah, let's see
I've
what
been
happens.
Watching Colorado.
Yeah, it's going pretty
Teenage
good.
Teenage marijuana use is down. Tax revenues up. Investment in education way up. Why? And, oh, yeah, lots of jobs. Lots of jobs. Well-paying jobs. You know, kind of like the one Scott Walker promised for Foxconn and then never legalized marijuana. Ugh. And, oh, yeah, the Foxconn jobs, they never petered out. I see that Rebecca Clayfish, her gubernatorial campaign, getting, you know, sort of peppered with protests. She's not for legalized marijuana either, folks. So, you know, it's Tony or bust, and it's probably bust. Anyways, happy 420. Don't be depressed. Be happy. Come down to Knuckleheads. See all the Knuckleheads. Thank you to my fine guests, the staff members here, Justin, Adrian, and also want to thank my fine prior guest, Congressman Mark Polkan. Thank you all for listening. Dom, Fancy Brian, Evan, final thoughts? I'll give you like 10 seconds.
Go to Knuckleheads.
Have a great night. Go to Knuckleheads. Happy 420. Take care, people.
Talk it out, man.
There was no insurrection. If anything, I was a victim of the riot.
Because we're very high.
Well, that's what we've heard.
Smoke weed every day.